Drop out. Hello, darkness, my old friend. He's never read the Divine Comedy.
I saw a third of it, and then I was like, "This is a lot of words."
This is words.
Which third?
First third.
Oh,
which one's the first third?
It's the hell part.
Inferno.
Yeah,
that might be right.
It is.
Pretty sure Inferno is the second.
Have you read
part.
The Complete Fictions of H.P. Lovecraft?
I've read maybe a tenth of that one.
Do you know he's a terrible person?
You just had one cat with a bad name.
I think it expanded a little farther than just the name of his cat.
But let's be honest. If it was before 1800, he wasn't racist.
When do you think H.P. Lovecraft was alive?
Don't know.
Wasn't before 1800.
There's pictures of H.P. Lovecraft, so.
It was alive. I believe he wrote all of his stuff in like the 20s.
Again. Probably racist.
No, we know he is. That's confirmed.
Yeah, that's canon. That's what I just said to you.
I don't know.
Huge fart?
No. That was
squeaky chair.
Yeah, brain on the chair.
Squeaky chair.
And like a good fart, yeah. Get the air flowing.
Sweet release.
Had some good farts in my time, let me tell you.
They were just...
Reminiscing on a fart.
Think that you might have?
Think that I might have farted?
Shitted?
Yeah, one of them hard farts. Farts comes out a little solid on the end.
Fart 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Fart squared.
There's a child riding a bike in the driveway.
Should we go yell at him?
I think I could take him.
Go throw rocks at him.
Pelt him.
You should start throwing rocks at kids.
Throw a stick through his
spokes.
His spokes. Just put a stick in the spokes. Watch him wreck.
Watch him go poom.
I could watch kids wreck on bikes all day. I give a fuck about your kids.
My favorite people watching activities when kids crash their bikes. They start crying, bleeding.
I'll set up like little pull lines right across the trail at like a little park or something, and I'll just wait. As soon as they get close, I'll just rip that motherfucker taut. Boom. Kids go falling down everywhere. It's hilarious. I don't actually do that.
For the record.
I don't promote violence against children unless they deserve it.
We'll see what the court thinks.
Because they're on their way.
I'll see them try.
The court. They're on their way.
The whole court. They're coming here. You're getting tried immediately. Right to a speedy trial. Times 10.
Welcome to Dropout Podcast. I'm Dylan.
I'm the substitute for Noah, who's not here. And I'm sure you will, all 12 listeners, that might be a stretch, are very excited that I finally returned after my long hiatus. I believe like episode 14 was the last one I was on.
No. Yeah, I think you might have been on since then.
What are y'all on now?
Like 44, 45?
47.
It's been a minute. I snuck in on one, I think.
Yeah, it's true. It wasn't that long ago.
You and Jake both did.
We were talking about Godzilla.
Yeah, you snuck
that came out a few months ago, so it's been a minute.
Yeah.
And what's your name?
Might have already said it. Not 100% sure, but I am, in fact, Coda, founder of Dropout Productions, owner of the copyright.
I am three
President
pieces,
CEO.
Three pieces of string cheese roughly blended together, coated in a breading, and then deep fried.
That's Jared.
I'm Jared.
Oh, we didn't do an episode last week because
Dill was a busy boy.
I was a busy boy, I guess.
And he didn't plan ahead.
And that happens sometimes. And then we said we'd do it Monday, and then we
Well, you said we would do it Monday, and then you didn't call the pod until almost 11 o'clock.
It wasn't that late.
It was. It was 10:57.
It was like 9.
No, Dylan. It was not. Because I looked at my phone and I said, what the fuck is this?
I'm a busy boy.
What were you doing after work until 10:57?
Went to my mom's.
For like 4 hours?
For like an hour. Got off at like 8:30.
You know the difference in time between 8:30 and 10:57?
Nope.
It's more than just an hour.
Hey, Jared. Sorry, is that what you want to hear?
Yes.
That's I want you on your knees begging for our forgiveness.
Kiss my ring.
The fans have been desperately waiting, and you let them down.
You broke their little hearts.
I'm sorry, fans.
How do you think the fan feels?
How do you think fan is? Call fan right now.
Sorry, fan. Fanny. Fanny dropout.
What? Sometimes you just gotta make syllables, smash them together, sometimes. Turn them into words.
Hey, you yeah. saw
hey.
That Marvel movie, right?
What Marvel movie?
That one.
Black Widow?
Yeah.
I sat beside you, Dylan.
Hey, Cody, you saw that movie, didn't you?
I am now going to read off Dylan's entire bank account number and routing number. The well, account number.
I don't think that's his actual number. I think it's just for the...
No,
that's his bank account number.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
We don't have to.
So anyway. Yeah, I watched the Marvel movie.
Yeah? Yeah? Black Widow.
So many payments he's got.
Oh, I was talking about Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, right.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I forgot that movie came out.
This week?
No, ever.
Rise of the Silver Surfer saved the box office from the pandemic. 800 million opening weekend.
Dylan,
it's not accurate.
I think you forgot to make a payment.
No, I don't use this.
This one's November 2020.
They come automatically from my account. They just gave me that as a courtesy, I guess.
Well, your last payment's going to be on October 14th, 2023.
It's a nightmare to think about.
That's when it ends.
I can only hope.
Yeah, anyway, Black Widow.
Thoughts?
Mediocre.
Mm. Not great.
Yeah.
But, David Harbour.
Florence Pugh.
Entertaining. Fun to
good
watch.
Actors.
Good performances all around, I'd argue.
Well, I'd say all around.
It wasn't... It just... didn't feel good to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it started out really strong, and then as the movie went on, it just gradually just really...
Nothing really happened.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it was over.
it was just stopped.
That might be a consequence of when it's come out, I guess. Or like when it's set. But...
There was a lot of room for improvement, I think.
Also, after we watched it, I was like thinking about it more and more, thinking about everything I didn't like about it, and it doesn't have a second act.
No,
it goes from first act to finale.
That's what I'm saying. Just nothing happens for about an hour. They explain the rules of the world, and then they explain them one more time. Then they run it back past you just in case you forgot. And then they say that guy's bad, and you're like, okay.
Facts.
So, anyways. Here's the rules of the world. One more time.
Just in case.
All right. Anyways, finale. Here's the final fight.
I'm just going to throw it out there because it's just easier.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. Anybody. So I was wondering if we were going to do spoilers or not.
So if you haven't seen Black Widow or probably Loki.
Loki later.
Let's come back later.
Skip it if you haven't seen Loki. If you haven't seen Black Widow, I mean.
We'll sum it up for you.
It wasn't great.
Let me give you the sum up of Black Widow. All right, so movie opens. You see Black Widow as a kid living with David Harbour, the lady from Mummy.
Rachel Weisz.
And a child.
Come on. Put respect.
And they're living in Ohio. And then dad comes home and he's like, we got to go.
Dad being
David Harbour. If it's not Rachel Weisz from Mummy or the child.
Did you know that the young Nat, that's Mila Jovovich's daughter?
Is it really?
Who? It is. Mila Jovovich?
I don't think you pronounce it J.
I don't know, maybe not.
I don't know who Mila Jovovich is.
Underworld. No, not Underworld. Fucking Resident Evil.
Yeah. Oh. The lady that wears leather?
Yeah. No.
That's all of them.
But.
Anyway. And then they get in the car and they drive away. And then the cops come. And they escape from the police. And then they get to an airplane in the middle of a field. They get in and they go to fly away, and David Harbour shoots some cop cars and they
shield cars. They're not cops.
Whatever.
They're shield.
They were fucking Ford
Black
Broncos.
Black Widow did not say ACAB.
They were Ford Broncos. So anyway,
OJ.
Yeah, they were just shooting, but he shot a bunch of OJ clones. Shield sent OJ clones after him. And then Rachel Weisz got shot in the plane. And then child Scarlett Johansson.
I gotta be honest, I thought you were going to go through this a lot faster. Yeah. You're covering every single detail of the movie. Yeah,
100%. I wanted them to know how it happened.
And you don't have to.
You didn't have
child
to.
Scarlett Johansson.
Either they skipped it because they haven't seen the movie, or they've already seen it and they knew that these things happened.
Child Scarlett Johansson, I was like, I'll fly this motherfucking plane. And then David Harbour jumps on the wing, and he's on the wing all the way till they get to Cuba.
Yeah, that's never explained. Does he really just ride the wing the entire way?
I can't imagine that he's just popped open the door.
Yeah, I would wreck. He's a super soldier.
Yeah, he probably just hold on.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a trip, huh?
And then, the fact that they made it all the way to Cuba in that little
from Ohio.
Plane, yeah, that plane. No way they didn't refuel.
They stopped for gas.
I think S.H.I.E.L.D. was probably keeping a good eye on where that plane was at until it went over international waters.
I don't think S.H.I.E.L.D. really cares about international waters.
You know what? Stupid scene. Doesn't make any sense. Why didn't S.H.I.E.L.D. stop them?
S.H.I.E.L.D. probably also got access to aircraft. Fast,
it was entertaining
jet-powered aircraft.
It was entertaining, but now that we're actually talking about it,
break it down.
The only scene I liked in the whole movie is kind of dog shit.
The movie stops being like decent to me up until Yelena is introduced.
And then David Harbour, absolute cracked shot, dude.
What?
That guy is cracked with a shot.
Super what are you soldier. Referring to?
They got those things, they're like metal pipes, and sometimes they have wood, maybe a plastic, and then you hold them against your shoulder, and you point them at things, and you pull the trigger, and then it goes bang, and then a piece of metal flies out and hits something.
Are you describing a gun?
Yes. David Harbour is really good at shooting things, which I said previously as he's got a cracked shot.
I just remember thinking...
I thought you were talking about a cracked cum shot. He was just really slinging ropes in the movie.
He got that super soldier. Anyway, they get to Cuba, and then a weird...
soldiers come.
Yes, what? Why would they not be able to?
To be fair, we've never seen a super soldier with a kid in the MCU.
We've never seen a super soldier come.
None of them even have actual biological children.
They could be sterile.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that was his grandkid, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So that Bradley. To have a grandkid, he would have had to have had a kid.
Yep.
Because it was adopted.
Yeah, no, it never explicitly said that he was adopted. Or that his parents were not.
I think it stands, we can't assume that they can, in fact, come.
Yeah. Anyway, they get to Cuba, and a weird man gets out of a car, and he's like, I'm going to take these kids with me to the Red Room. And baby Scarlett Johansson is like, I don't want to do that again.
Honestly, for some reason, when they went to Cuba, I assumed that Fidel Castro was going to get involved. And I was like, wow.
You thought they were just going to introduce Fidel Castro into the MCU?
From Call of Duty Black Ops, whenever Castro, like Mason's dying, and then Castro and... that Russian dude who I don't remember, villain from the movie or from the games, and they're just talking and they're like, yeah, this guy sucks. And they're like, all right, send him to the gulags.
To the gulag.
Also, it's unbelievable that you're explaining the movie slower than the movie happened. Well, it's taking longer than the scene did to watch.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get through there. All right, can I continue?
Really,
so they put the kids to sleep, and then it goes into the intro to the movie, which is about an hour and a half long, and it's just children. Just being tortured.
And the bad guy who ran the Red Room with other world leaders photoshopped in Forrest Gump style.
Yeah. Just to make sure.
It's about 8 minutes long with a cover so of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, as soon as the cover started playing over
very
the credits.
A omniscient woman screaming Smells Like Teen Spirit in a way that made me very uncomfortable into my core.
That was a good cover.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't need to hear the entire... like five and a half minute long song.
As soon as the cover started, I was like, all right, this is going to be an interesting movie, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The credits rolled on for so long.
And then we come back to the modern, well, not the modern time, but the post Civil War. And Scarlett Johansson's in a bathroom hiding from, what was the general's name? Ross?
Ross?
Yeah. Hiding from General Ross and his men. And he's like, why don't you just come on out, make this easy? And she was like, I'm not going to do that. And then boom, turns out she wasn't in the room. She wasn't in the building that Thunderbolt Ross was in. She was on a boat going to Norway. And then she was in Norway for like...
2 seconds.
Yeah, like a grand total of like real time, 6 hours. And there was this guy who he's always constantly in the movie, and he's just bringing things. Let me interject
real quick. Apparently, I don't know if it's an official leak or anything, but
the dude,
yeah, that guy was actually supposed to be Taskmaster originally.
Wait, which one?
The dude that just kept showing up and giving Scarlett Johansson things that she needed conveniently.
Why was he not?
See, that?
That would have been maybe a better movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It would have been.
If they had anybody being Taskmaster other than Taskmaster.
Again, I think Disney stepped in and said, like, we can't have our titular hero just killing kids. So they decided to change it, probably.
Yeah, but they just could have made it so that she didn't kill the kid. Or though she didn't kill the kid. But
yeah, I don't spoiler. Know who said it.
What?
Both of you just went to vape at the exact same time.
Yeah, because somebody else was talking, so I could get away for a moment.
I don't remember which one of you said it, but the bomb that she sets off, like in the flashback sequence, that
destroys the building.
Doesn't kill a single person.
Levels a 5-story building, and every single person in that room survived.
But yeah, but the two people that, well, the one person that they were there to kill, and the one person they were using as bait, perfectly fine.
I did see something about how like Taskmaster was probably involved because the main villain of the entire movie isn't there until the very end. So there needs to be like a pushing force, like an opposing force throughout the film.
But it could have just been any other Black Widow. It could have just been a swarm of Black Widows coming.
It could have just been goons.
I think Taskmaster makes sense against in a Black Widow setting.
A good Taskmaster.
Would have been fine if it was an actual character who had a single speaking line while in the suit.
Even out of the suit, had one.
One single one.
Is he gone?
Anyways, go ahead. Finish explaining the other hour and a half of the movie. We're through the first 8 minutes.
All right, so they're in Norway, and she's got some mail, and she needs more gas for the generator. So she's going to town to get it, and then, gets absolutely fucking demolished by a fucking rocket. I mean, just blown to shit. And then, Taskmaster's there to fight over some mail. And then she jumps in the water. And then she comes out of the water.
I thought the first scene with Taskmaster was actually pretty cool.
That was a pretty cool fight.
It wasn't bad. Whenever Taskmaster swings off of the grappling hook like Spider-Man, because Taskmaster learned Spider-Man's moves, that was cool.
Threw the shield like Cap.
It did.
He did the moves like her.
And she did.
What?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Taskmaster's a woman, by the way. Spoiler.
Since we're just explaining the movie shot by shot.
I wish you could put Jared on one half speed.
What do you mean?
I wish you just fast forward through whatever you're saying.
Oh, right, I mean, I can talk really fast if you want.
But it's the main bad guy's daughter who got blew up by Scarlett Johansson, but didn't kill her somehow, and doesn't talk. Sucks the whole movie.
Yeah, my favorite thing about Taskmaster is how he's always telling you how he's gonna whoop your ass. And this Taskmaster, nothing.
Big X-Men Origins vibes.
Yeah. I'll say it. And this is going to be a hot take. X-Men Origins Deadpool is kind of badass.
If it wasn't supposed to be Deadpool, probably.
He's got fucking lasers. He's got swords in his arms. He can teleport.
If any other part of the movie would have made sense, then maybe that statement could be true.
It was badass.
The movie has redeeming qualities.
The first 3 minutes. That's it.
Gambit's in it. Gambit's cool.
Unfortunately.
And Will.i.am's in it.
Will.i.am is in it. Forgot about that.
Will.i.am is a teleporting man.
Yeah. I can't remember who he plays.
And then Sabretooth grabs his spine. And there was a fat guy, Blob.
Shriek? No, Shriek's someone else. Who does Will.i.am play?
I don't remember a lot about the movie.
He teleports.
It sucked. Anyways,
you're telling me at 12 years old, you saw that movie. You said this is bad.
You saw Will.i.am.
Me and my dad watched it, and we were like, "What? What's going on?"
12 years old, I thought everything was fucking cool.
Yeah. Anytime anybody had a sword, I'm in it. I'm in there like swimwear.
I was a real film artiste at 12.
I was a real cunt.
I watched Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior, and I was obsessed for like a week.
I watched Sky High.
Sky High's a good movie, still holds up. Watched it a couple years ago.
Was that kid that just turned into a puddle? What's that all about, huh?
Well, I mean.
Anyway, back to Black Widow.
It's the hand he's dealt.
At some point or another, she gets to Budapest. I don't know how.
She about six times in the movie, she explains that it's pronounced Budapest, not Budapest, which I just...
Completely unnecessary.
Yeah, there's no need
for that. No one gives a fuck how you pronounce Budapest.
She could have said it once, and then...
And then when she gets there, her sister's there, and they fight, and that's a good fight scene.
That's all right.
Didn't make a whole lot of sense what was going on, but I mean, it was cool.
Could have been cut differently, but...
I liked it. I liked that fight scene. And then some stuff happens, and then they go to break David Harbour out of prison.
And that's when that's exactly when the movie starts going really downhill for me.
And that was kind of fun.
Because that, no, it was.
I thought it was kind of fun.
The entire scene when they were like in the helicopter, and I was like, why don't they just fucking pick him up?
The fact that you're explaining this shot by shot and still managed to skip over the entire catalyst of the film is unbelievable to me.
What was it? I don't even remember. Oh, yeah.
Whenever Yelena is because of the male. Black Widows.
Because of the male.
Yeah. You just skipped over the entire plot of the movie.
It's not. Nobody cares.
No one cares about any of this. Everybody who might still be listening is thinking, like, God, I hope this fucking ends.
That's how I felt throughout most of the movie. So I'm giving them the experience.
You don't have to. You can
send us $40. Is that how much it was on Disney Plus? 40? 30? 30. Send us $30 for this.
That's rough. I'll do 15.
The like jailbreak scene drove me insane because they just kept circling around. I was like, just fucking grab him. Just stop.
There's also a lot of that scene where I was like, why didn't he just do this himself?
Yeah, no, throughout the whole thing, he could have just got out of there. Like, he, like, climbed up the wall. So you could have just done that at any point.
Because they didn't actually do anything. They just told him, like, we're going to break you out.
Here's a rope.
Okay.
There's a helicopter above. You do all of the rest of
the work. The only thing they did was give him the earpiece.
Yeah, but you didn't even need, because he could have just done all of these things. He could have just said, I'm out. At any point, just got in a truck instead of in a helicopter.
And I think they kind of explained it, but I feel like they didn't really explain why he was in prison. The guy just put him there.
Yeah, because he didn't like him.
I mean, I kind of took it as, you know, he was the Red Guardian, part of the USSR, and then the USSR collapsed, and I imagine he became an enemy of the state or something.
Maybe not an enemy of the state, but like...
It was better just put him away.
Yeah, something you gotta put that away.
Also, did y'all see that apparently it's confirmed that the guy that he arm wrestles...
The guy that he shattered his arm?
Yeah, that's Ursa Major.
Was it confirmed Ursa Major, or was it just like...
The guy that played him...
The actor said he was Ursa Major, and they told him he was Ursa Major, and then they just decided to not...
He could
expand
come back
on that in any way.
Yeah, because he does say little bear or something. I was like, I assume that being how big this man was in the little bear line, I was like, this is a little Easter egg, I assume.
I thought just some big ass dude.
That's some big dude. He thinks he's going to arm wrestle this guy. And then he gets his arm fucking shattered.
Also, it's implied that he's been in prison for at least like a decade now.
Yeah.
Why do people still arm wrestle him? Isn't everybody not on the same page that this guy's a superhuman who will shatter your arms?
But if you do beat him.
You're not gonna, though. How is everybody not on the same page at this point?
But if you beat him, that'd be crazy.
Do you think Ursa Major was the first guy shaped like that who tried to arm wrestle him and got shattered?
He almost beat him.
No, he didn't. That was the whole thing. He was like, psych, and then just shattered his arm.
Just absolutely fucking obliterates it. Back to the movie.
There's a major, the mutant, and he couldn't do it.
I don't think this one was a mutant.
He said it was.
Yeah, what was his mutant power?
Bear. His big bear.
Big Russian bear.
So they save David Harbour, and then something happens, and then pigs and the lady from Mummy are back. Turns out she sucks. She calls the police. And then they have to go to the flying temple in the sky to kill a man.
Unfortunately, the last maybe 12 sentences of the story that he's told, that's about an hour of film time.
Yeah, no, I've really chopped it down here in the middle.
I gotta be honest, he didn't skip over much. Ugh.
And then they fight, and then she wrecks the sky plane.
I can't believe how bad the CG gets. at the
end. Oh, dude, the last 20 minutes of that movie are so fucking rough to watch.
It visually looks like a 2010
There's
movie.
So much green screen.
There's so much fire that it's just like somebody was like, can we throw some fire in there? And they're like, oh, we gotta get this movie out by like an hour.
The fire felt like they were just trying to cover up where like they had messed up the set or something half the time. So it just randomly was there.
So much running towards the camera explosion behind them.
Also, a lot of ass shots.
Yeah, written and directed by a woman. And let me tell you, way more ass shots than I expected.
Yeah, cameraman, horny monster.
Horny little dog.
I assume the editor is too, because I would imagine they had multiple coverage of each of those shots, and he just kept picking the ass shots.
It's like, oh, yeah, this one right here.
This one seems the best.
It's a good shot.
It felt very reminiscent of when Black Widow was in Iron Man 2 10 years ago. But honestly, worse.
Yeah.
I was watching something, just like getting more, just getting a bearing on how other people felt in the movie. Not good, for the record. Yeah. Some people actually really like it. And to those people, I ask why. The performances are really good.
It feels like one of those movies that might be better if you've like never read the comics, you just watch the movies. Maybe. I think that brings it down for us a bit.
But even then, I don't think about the comics very often when I watch the movies, to be honest. Because I'm just like, this is its own. I try to put myself in the mind space. Like, this is its own thing. It pulls from it, but I'm very open to whatever.
I mean, I'm open to like changing, but when you do something like make Taskmaster a silent character who does nothing, I can't get behind.
I think that could have worked.
But, she watches YouTube videos and stuff.
But I do think that Taskmaster was just an objectively bad character, comic 100%. Book or not, because they just don't do anything the whole movie.
I think they could have worked if he had more than one cool scene. She had more than
one. See, again, cool you're still thinking about the comic book Tony Masters.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Because that's a good character that you want to be the character in the movie. Yeah, let's go ahead and finish the movie off for us.
They try to land the thing because they need cops to come and take the people.
It's Ross.
Yeah, they need Ross to come and take the people away. But then they can't. So Rachel Weisz says, we're going to do a controlled crash, and then the ship proceeds to explode completely. All of it.
Jared, I don't think Jared understands that. I thought that was a joke. Funny little joke.
See, jokes are usually, not always, but usually like funny in any way, shape, or form.
I kind of go a little
joke. Also, I would like to add in, this movie, very, very heavy, serious topics about like women being slaves, basically, to the Black Widow program. Chock full of jokes. I mean,
oh, David Harbour and Florence Pugh.
Even Rachel Weisz squeaks a few in. Natasha does. I mean, literally everybody's just cracking jokes.
When you first see Rachel Weisz after the time skip, she is the most rushing looking person
Olga
I have ever seen in my life.
She looks like the word Olga.
Like if you went into the heart of Russia and found a 46-year-old woman who had been Russia, had seen and lived and breathed Russia for her entire life, she would look less Russian than Rachel Weisz.
So she looked the part.
I took a Russian class in college. Terrible class. Didn't finish it. Dropped out. Dropout podcast. Dropout productions.
Let's go, baby. Drop and, out.
And that was taught by a woman who was from Russia. Her name was Ekaterina Pavlovna.
That's wow. A Russian name.
Looked significantly less Russian than Rachel Weisz in this movie.
I mean, so Russian.
Yeah, that...
That's pretty much the whole movie.
The part where they were falling out of the sky was kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, it was very 2000s action.
It's a scene that I could have believed was in like a Jason Statham 2007 action movie. Like Crank 2. Not even Crank 1. Crank 2.
If it had kept the tone it had in like the first third of the movie.
There's no tone. It's just whatever
the scene. If it would have kept the same tone it had in the opening of the movie, the flashback sequence. Throughout the whole movie, it might have been a good movie. But then, and they were like, I don't know. The entire part where she's in Norway is completely unnecessary.
Also, a big theme was like family. But like,
I got family.
Why were they weren't even a fam? They were never a real family.
And only 3 years.
It only hinges on Florence Pugh's character saying like, we were a family. And everybody else being like, no, we weren't. We were just at work. Yeah, and then somehow the movie's supposed to be about family, but it's just not.
It's a weird dynamic.
Well, yeah, Natasha
didn't feel earned.
Natasha liked was it Yelena? Mm-hmm. She kind of saw her as a sister.
See, Natasha didn't particularly care for the parents. The fact that Florence Pugh's character, Yelena, was so desperate for Rachel Weisz and David Harbour to be her family, even though they sold her back into slavery after using her for 3 years as a sort of a better version of a slave, was dumb as shit.
That's all she knew.
But the way I see it was like she was so young. That's just how... It was imprinted on her brain.
I get
She's
that.
Just desperate for
but
a
now
family.
She is a grown adult who can look at this like scenario and say, hey, fuck you, David Harbour. You sold me into slavery twice.
She just wanted to feel like a family again. That's all she wanted.
I get that. But this is literally the worst people to try to make a family with.
David Harbour, he had a heart of gold.
No, he didn't. He was a piece of shit. The whole movie was a complete scumbag.
He was a bit narcissistic, but deep down...
He sold two kids back into slavery.
He didn't want to. He didn't have a choice.
He didn't sell them.
He didn't even get paid for it. He just gave them over.
Yeah, afterwards, he took Yelena's little toy and brought that with him. But what was he going to do?
Yeah, he took the toy and it was never... I thought that was going to be like a little...
Yeah, he was going to bring it back out at some point and be like, I got the toy for you.
But no, it was just a dirt bag.
What was he going to do?
Rachel Weisz was an even bigger dirtbag.
Now, Rachel Weisz.
She was still actively a dirtbag.
Genuine cunt.
Psychopath, maybe.
Yeah. But then for some reason, she calls the cops, and then Natasha's like, it's off screen, but I guess Natasha was like, hold on. What if you just change sides? And Rachel Weisz like, yeah, makes sense.
Well, I think she called them before they had their nice little family meeting, and then she was like, oh, fuck.
She had a change of heart.
I do like these people. And then she was like, by the way, Natasha...
When they were talking in front of the bookshelf.
Natasha, I did call the people, and they are coming. And then they were like, well, let's game plan real quick. We can make this work. We'll switch faces.
And also, we're just not going to tell the other two.
Yeah.
Nobody. We're not going to bother going in the bedroom 18 feet away and saying, like, hey, by the way, guys, this is a plan.
By the way, they're coming, and they're going to take us... to a giant sky fortress that somehow no one knows about. No one knows that
somehow at any point did Tony Stark or even Natasha while operating Avengers Tower. Well, I guess she operated after this. I will take that back. But still, at no point did anyone ever just notice a giant sky fortress over Russia.
I think it's... Well,
it was surrounded by clouds.
That go away, because that's what clouds do.
Well, I think they had some sort of...
It makes its own clouds, but you got to think, if they're on this map, you constantly see clouds hovering over the exact same place that never move.
The Skull Island effect.
I imagine it moves a lot.
Why?
Because it's in the sky.
How would you find it then?
I imagine that the information is shared with people who need to know.
I just feel like somebody would have noticed, you know?
100%. It was huge.
And the helicarrier exists, you know? So.
Yeah, but... You know who knows about the helicarrier? Everyone.
If they wanted to. It goes invisible.
Yeah, but this one didn't. It just had clouds.
Well, so anyways, yeah, Black Widow wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good.
We spent 30 minutes talking about it. I think it had
redeeming qualities, but...
Yeah, the redeeming qualities are Florence Pugh.
It had opportunities that were just constantly thrown straight to the garbage.
One thing that really kills me about it was that they kept teasing this Red Guardian versus Taskmaster fight. That probably would have been really sick to watch. But they would cut to it and just be like David Harbour running in the hallway and throwing a punch, and then it would cut back to whatever the fuck else was going on.
It would come back to Rachel Weisz trying to land this fucking giant ship, and then
I want to watch
causing
that fight.
Every aspect of the ship to explode.
I wanted to watch that fight, damn it.
How did everything about it explode? Top to bottom. It wasn't like a couple explosions around the engines or anything. It was top to bottom. Just blasted. And then Florence Pugh was like, I'm going to sacrifice myself and shove the stick into this propeller.
That part was so fucking weird.
Yeah, just randomly shoved in a scene where she's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself. And Natasha's like, what?
And they were both behind green screens and it was bad. And she said, no, don't.
Oh, at one point.
The delivery of
yeah, it was just a horrible scene.
Whenever they come to pick all the people up from the pig farm, they shoot David Harbour full of darts. And it's like you just pulled out some Looney Tunes fucking Acme Corporation darts really and just fucking plucked them at him.
That could have been a really cool scene, too, I think. He could have went out fighting.
We tried. Then he went to sleepy sleep.
He literally just stood up, and then it went do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do with a bunch of, like, clip art.
And he was like, you think you could stop me? And then he fell asleep. Yeah. Anyway, not very good.
Five out of ten?
I wouldn't give it a 5. I'd say 6. Passing grade. I'd give it a 5.
I give it a fail.
If I was to walk into your home and you were watching Black Widow, I would sit down and not degrade you for watching Black Widow.
It's better than other MCU movies, but not the best.
Not many of them.
It's better than Captain Marvel, Thor, Thor the Dark World, Iron Man 2. Actually, you know what? I take it back. It's not better than Iron Man 2. I'll put my word.
It's better than Incredible Hulk.
Better than the Incredible Hulk.
I would put it above Ed Norton Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor 2.
So you say Iron Man 2, but I need to remind you that I vaunt my word.
I vaunt my bird.
No. My bird.
I forgot to tell you all this already, but in the magical film Pig 2021 starring Nicolas Cage, everyone should go see. But at one,
does he say I bent my fig?
He doesn't say it in a Russian accent or whatever the hell he was supposed to be from. Dagestan or whatever.
Somewhere
he has an accent in the film?
No.
Somewhere that was at one point within the Soviet Union.
Yeah, wherever Chinko, was that his name? Whiplash.
Oh.
Wherever he was supposed to be from, they say, I Mickey want Rourke. My bird. Where Mickey Rourke's from? Anyways, but he does say, I want my pig a lot, and every time I was like, I want my bird.
Something else that was Marvel that was relevant and then wrapped up.
Yeah, Jared, why don't you go ahead and explain all 6 episodes of Loki?
I couldn't.
Good. You spent 27 minutes just spilling that out.
Yeah, and now everybody that's listening to this can go, I don't need to go watch Black Widow now. I know exactly what happened.
No, nobody's still listening. They turned it off.
You scared them away.
And also, we didn't tell people where to skip forward to if they didn't want spoilers. They have to literally go to the end of the podcast.
They just got to keep hitting that little 15-second jump button.
And every time they're like, is this motherfucker still explaining every single detail of the
He's
plot?
Still talking about the Norway sequence. And the Norway part was so fucking stupid.
Now Loki. That's some good shit.
Started out mediocre.
It was all right.
But then by the end of it. By the end of it, it was some of the best Marvel content.
I think the only episode that I didn't really like drive with was like the 3rd episode.
1 through 4 were all kind of just like, all right,
let's get to
the point.
Let's make it happen.
I liked it. It was like a little
It wasn't chase. Bad. I mean, I don't think it was bad by any means, but it just wasn't.
Spoilers again.
Yeah, go ahead and skip to the end. Just turn off the podcast.
Yeah. If you hadn't seen Black Widow, you could have suffered through the Black Widow part and you're not losing anything. But if you haven't seen Loki, and you have any desire to see Loki,
let's go watch it.
Well, it will hurt.
Check in next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that first episode. It was great. I liked the first episode a lot.
It was all right.
When they have to, like, speed run his fucking, like, emotional arc, I was like, that works.
It did work.
Don't know how this works, but it does.
I don't think any of the first 4 episodes were bad by any means. I just didn't think they were spectacular. Then episode 5, phenomenal.
Episode 6?
I didn't think episode 6, like, as an individual episode, was even close to as good as 5.
That fucking classic Loki moment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Episode 5, just as a standalone single episode, probably the best Marvel TV show episode.
Yeah, Loki's up there. It's my favorite show so far.
And need I remind you, there was an alligator Loki.
There was, in fact, an alligator Loki.
There was an alligator Loki.
And I'd probably put Loki... Probably is the weakest show. I put it above Falcon Winter Soldier below WandaVision.
Really?
But it's close.
Interesting.
See, I would put Loki, WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's my ranking too.
I don't think Loki as its own contained show is as good as it's perceived just based on like the implications of what this show is going to end up being.
I think it holds its own really well.
No, it does, but I'm just saying, like what makes it so good is that, like, fuck, this is going to happen now.
My favorite thing about that show was after the last episode, I went,
shoot! It was mostly set up for the rest of the shows and movies.
I mean, yeah.
Which is fine. It was still good on its own, but I'm saying, but what made it, what put it over the top was the implication of what's happening next.
I could watch Tom Hiddleston all day.
I think they present it in a way, like, it does enough building, like, world building in its own right to justify it. Everything that happens.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing that the show only can stand on the fact that it adds to the greater MCU. I'm just saying that's what pushed it over the top. That takes it from like an 8 to like a fucking 10.
Yeah.
But I still think it was a really good show on its own, in its own right.
And then they added an alligator Loki.
The way we get burned with the Quicksilver and WandaVision really just kind of bumps that down a little bit for me.
Yeah, it was a real kick in the cock.
Yeah,
it's
Ralph Boner really did.
It's done in such a weird way. It took that show from a
10 to a 9 on its own.
It's done in such a weird way that it's just
it's done in such a way that it's just like, hey.
But also, it's like ironically like with the theme of the show, it's like meta to a fault.
Yeah, the show is all about rug pulls, but like you can't rug pull the audience like in that way. I don't think.
See, they
but like it's weirdly.
I get what you're saying.
All the people that just that aren't in it that haven't watched every superhero movie that's came out in the last
ever since
decade.
Yeah,
because they're like, superheroes, those people are like, oh, I think that's the guy from the other movies. But then there's people like us that are like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. They're doing it. They're bringing in the X-Men right here, right now.
To be fair, though, I think the way Loki introduced the multiverse concept works way better than whatever would have happened there.
Why? Because they're using, like, science words instead of magic words?
Yeah. The way it's like presented at like a bigger scale than just one woman.
One woman who can rip apart space time and reality and combine multiverses together.
As far as the three shows go,
it's more feasible.
I'll also say that Falcon and the Winter Soldier probably does its best standing on its own because it doesn't really have like the huge.
It doesn't really rely on anything outside of itself.
Overall, it just
its story arc is very self-contained.
Yeah, I mean that's fair, but overall.
When it ended, we didn't even know there was going to be a Cat 4 movie, and everybody was like, "That's cool, this was a good show." But then they added that, and we're like, "Ooh!" Like that was just like a little.
That show
little
really drags for me, though. I was really excited for that. That was my top show.
I did not like it.
No, the subplot in that show really drags.
Yeah, they probably could have trimmed out.
But everything between Falcon and Bucky, great.
I think there should have been another episode where John Walker's story. As he becomes Cap, can be explored more.
Yeah,
It felt like he went from 0 to 100 fucking fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came apart.
His redemption wasn't earned to me.
Yeah, that's what I was like. He's Cap, and then like the second he even sees the serum, it's just 0 to 100 immediately.
Well, he talks to Lamar. He talks to Lamar and he's like, man.
Yeah, there's literally like a 2-minute scene.
He's like,
I'm thinking about it.
He's like, I can't. We can't do it. We don't have it. We can't win. And I got the Super Soldier though. And Lamar was like, do it, bro. Go ahead.
Put that cock out.
And he said, all right. Still refuses to believe that John Walker isn't the worst man that's ever happened in the world.
He's just scummy. He just has scummy vibes about him.
Ask him why.
Why is he scummy, Dil?
Did you see what he did in the show?
He has like 4 medals of honor. Are you disrespecting the troops?
He's an All-American.
I'm saluting.
At no point did he do anything in the show that I could argue that it was indefinitely bad.
He's unhinged. He's really unhinged.
He's hinged first. He came unhinged in the middle. But at the end of the show, he suddenly became
unhinged a little bit too fast.
It could have used a little bit.
But the first like 4 episodes, it's like, he's only bad to the extent that the audience understands that he's not Steve Rogers.
He's only bad to the point where he's the antagonist.
He's only bad that we're seeing the show through Bucky and Sam's lens, and that's the only reason he's actually bad. But from like a
if we would have saw it through John Walker's lens, we would have thought Bucky and Sam were kind of being assholes for no reason.
Yeah, he was a good man doing his best, but it turns out he wasn't a good man. He was the perfect soldier. You can't do that.
It's all he's known. It's all he's ever known.
But again, it's not. Being Cap's not about being the perfect soldier. It's about being a good man. And that's why Sam was picked over Bucky. Fuck you, Jared.
I still think Bucky would... Because tell me at the end of the show that Bucky's not a good man.
He is now. But he's still fighting demons. Sam was always a good man. Bucky's always been the perfect soldier.
But at the end of the day, Sam's a dude that learned how to do karate.
And he's a good
man. That was my favorite thing about the show is the little parkour sequence where he's just running around his little house in Louisiana training. Doing flips and shit.
He's going to learn to be Cap.
That scene was a lot longer
than I think it was. Yeah. So fucking long.
Which also that's that show's biggest problem. I don't know if they had to like cut some scenes or something and they weren't hitting runtime, There's a lot of scenes in that show that you're just like, man, this could have ended quite some time ago.
Yeah, I think that show could have been like an episode shorter. What was that? Was that 9 episodes?
No, it was like 7.
It could have been an episode.
I think it might have been 8.
But again, you could cut out one whole episode worth of stuff and then add in an episode about John Walker.
You could cut out the entire B-plot.
Pretty much.
I understand what the B-plot was used for. Like, it was a vessel for the end, for the end of the series to get that point across. I just think you could have done it some other way.
Honestly, you could have probably focused a lot less on the Flag Smashers.
The Flag Smashers fell flat to me because, like, the first few episodes, they're, like, really set it up like, oh, these people, they don't have a home anymore. Like, you could see how we should feel for them because, like, they're struggling and they have nothing again. And, like, they had everything taken from them. But then, like, the bad guys start, like, making too much sense. So Disney said, blow up a building. They killed a bunch of innocent people. They're bad, remember? Remember how they were bad? They're bad guys.
Are you proud of that, Dylan? See, I didn't really quite get where the Flag Smashers were coming from in the beginning, because this is like after all the people get back, and they left where they were from because half of all the people gone, and that caused a great collapse in many societies. So naturally, people would kind of congregate. But now that all the people are back, you know, go rebuild your home, homie.
It's a weird scenario. I'll say it's a.
I mean, obviously, it's an impossible scenario that we could never fully wrap our heads around because we couldn't at any point banish half of existence and then bring them back 5 years later.
I mean, but their story made sense to me. It's like, you know, the idea, I think, was that they had been, you know, outcast, and then like they finally found a place in society after the snap, and like they had found their own way, but then it was just ripped right away from them, and everybody just had to eat shit.
They probably have at least some kind of friend and or family that they have not seen in 5 years because they died, who are now alive again. So I would probably be like, oh shit, I'm gonna go home.
And I also thought that it kind of explored the idea, which again, they didn't get into it as much as I think they definitely could or should have. But they could have used them as a vehicle to explore the idea that, like, was Thanos actually even wrong? Which I hate that the MCU refuses to actually, like, look at that. Like, they just, like, they would sprinkle a couple things in every once in a while. Like, what if he was right? And then they're like, psych, he was the bad guy.
He got some points. Yo, homie, why didn't you just double all the resources?
You can't just double the resources. Because population will always continue to grow.
Yeah, but if you just have all the people, then...
Also, what was his idea, though? Like, eventually...
It's just going to get back to where it was.
Yeah, was he just going to snap every few thousand years?
He couldn't, because after he snapped, all the Infinity Stones were destroyed.
It was short-sighted. I mean, he might have put in some extra rules we didn't know about. Like, now everybody can only have 2 kids.
Everybody's cock and balls only works one time.
Twice.
Come on.
I guess if it worked once, you know, you would have population in a generation.
But Loki...
Yeah, Loki's pretty
good. Oh, yeah, I forgot we were talking about Loki.
I could watch the scene where classic Loki just, like...
rises Asgard out of the ground.
Over and over
again. Oh, yeah.
That shit was so...
Glorious purpose!
Richard E. Grant wants a spinoff show with classic Loki and alligator Loki.
I'd watch it.
Oh, I would, too. That'd 8 seasons, so 40 episodes per season. Weekly procedural, like CSI.
It's... We're just it's a show that's like in the style of MASH, but instead of having doctors at an army camp, it's just an old man Loki and an alligator Loki doing something.
No, I want a CSI. I want them to solve crimes.
I like how throughout the whole show Loki is kind of like just a dude, but then whenever they're on the planet that's getting exploded, he just throws an entire skyscraper back up into the air.
That was wild.
And keeps it fucking moving.
I would say in the show that they did have a bit of a bad tendency for Loki to only have powers when it was important.
Yeah.
But I mean, to be fair, I guess he would only use your powers when it's important.
But like, there's times where he could have used them and he just didn't.
Oh, he made a blanket too. I forgot about that.
He made a blanket. He made a love blanket. Also,
you do know that the Lokis are frost giants. They don't get cold. That was all just a ploy so he could fuck himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they were both Lokis, so why would either of them be cold?
No, they both understood, like, they were just trying to bone.
Also, I think we're looking too far into the frost giant.
They don't get cold. They're horny. They only know horny. They don't
feel frost giants only want to fuck. Aren't we all frost giants? You know?
What do we think about it? I get cold very easily.
Yeah, that's a weird scenario.
Yeah, how do we feel about Loki trying to bang Loki?
It's masturbation.
It's weird, but
I feel like it's way more incest than anything.
It's masturbation.
It's yourself. It's not incest.
If any, it'd be like from a DNA standpoint, it's essentially his twin sister.
But from a reality standpoint, it's him.
It's him.
It feels like incest.
I'm glad they at least acknowledge it.
Hardly. It's all acknowledged via jokes.
I mean, they couldn't get too deep into it, or everybody would start being like, man, I don't know if I like this show.
Man, it really feels like they're doing a little incest here.
I just feel like Mobius could have said, hey, Step Loki, at some point. I think that really would have propelled the show.
Also, another point about Mobius. Never once does he say, wow.
He says, found.
Wow. I found it.
Wow.
Very upset he never got his jet ski. If he doesn't get a jet ski in season two, I will change my opinion.
So glad.
This is the worst show I've ever seen.
I was really afraid that they were going to kill him off this season. Just because, like, even from the beginning, because I was like, Owen Wilson. I don't know if he's going to stick around for this.
I don't think he's really got a whole lot else going on, I'm going to be honest with you.
I guess so.
I'd reckon he's probably made it to the point in his career where he just kind of does whatever he feels like doing.
I can get in on the MCU? Okay.
I feel like people are approached by the MCU and it just says, big paycheck. Please take our
money.
It's
just a blank check, and you just go, huh? And you go,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say, like, they probably already have, like, a full list of, like, actors. Like, they've probably gone around and asked every big actor, like, hey, would you be interested in the MCU? How big of a role would you want?
And they just went to the Actors Guild, and they were like, can you guys just send out this letter? And just, yeah.
And then somebody's like, I just want a small role. You know, you'll just throw him in as Rachel Weisz in Black Widow.
Just, they have like an old number gradient. It's like, how much do you
want to
be?
You want like a medium role? You get like a Mobius in the show or something.
Be a lead actor? Do you want to like be a background character?
You want to be like a B character? Maybe, you know, you're John Walker. You know, you're kind of a main character for a show and you're going to have a bigger role later. Or like, I don't know, I want to be somebody. And then you get to be Yelena Belova.
I just want to be able to say that I was in there, you know.
Also, Kang. We're not technically Kang, I guess, but
Immortus.
I
think
they're all Kang, same person.
That shit was sick.
Spoiler. I don't know if anybody's still listening for some horrible reason.
I liked, was it Jonathan Majors?
Yep, Jonathan Majors.
I liked him, but
he gave such a good performance.
I thought about Kang, I imagine they would just be like a really old, really cunty looking white guy, and then I got this really cool black dude. Who pops around and does little teleportation things and makes fun of the Lokis for not being able to kill him.
Because he's Immortus. He's not Kang. But he is Kang.
But he's going to be Kang.
He was already Kang.
So did Loki at the end of the...
He was previously Kang. But not Kang anymore. But will be Kang.
Well, he's always... he's always been all of them.
But also none of them. That's not true. He's always been at least one of them.
So did Loki... Did he go to a different...
That was my interpretation.
A different reality? A different multiverse?
Well, I think all of reality is different now because Kang's dead.
Yeah, but...
I think the TVA exists outside of time. Which means it can be affected all time.
The only thing that was outside of time was Immortus.
I think... Well, yeah, but he built the TVA, so it makes sense they also exist outside of time.
Yeah, but he built the TVA back in time. And he ripped people out of time.
No, they don't exist within time. They exist like over time. They can look down on time.
See, my interpretation was Immortus, he built his own multiverse, his own universe away from all the multiverses so that they couldn't come in and do war.
Like where
his
citadel is?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he's...
It's not outside of time. It's at the end of time.
Yeah, but he's got time going around it. He is outside of time. So he's watching.
But it's the end
by.
Of time. It's not out of time.
Why is he
surrounded
know,
by time? He's watching the eternal loop of time going.
But
around.
They explain that it's the end of time.
I thought the end of time was the void, and then they went past the void.
Time is circular.
But I think it's still at the end of time.
Yeah, but
because Goliath was protecting that
time.
Part of
time is time is circular.
Yeah, but he's at the end.
As presented by the circle.
Yeah, but he's at the end of it.
You can't be at the end of a circle. Anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the only part that doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
The end of a circle?
Yeah.
Not the fact this man exists in all realities at the same time,
well, obviously,
manipulating time and space itself?
He doesn't. He's not controlling all realities. I think he's just controlling this one.
No, Kang controls all time.
Yeah, but this isn't Kang. This is Immortus.
But Kang.
But it's not.
But they are. They're all Kang.
I think all the Kangs had their own multiverse until the Multiverse of War, at which point Immortus said, I'm going to use this giant cloud monster that I found to block off this one, and I'm going to keep it going so that it doesn't fuck up.
But time.
Yeah, we need to call Kevin. Get Kevin out here to just fully break it down for us. Give us the rules.
Honestly, I'm not sure he would understand fully at this point.
He doesn't have to understand because he makes the rules.
Did y'all see that apparently, like, I can't remember when it was supposed to. I think it was like the day after the Loki season finale premiered, that they had a big meeting at Marvel with like all of the creative teams together so Kevin Feige could lay out the rules of the multiverse and how all of it was supposed to work so that way the shows all made sense together.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they set like the ground rules for the multiverse.
That's really good. I'm glad he still makes very big creative decisions with it all.
Yeah, it's his whole fucking job. Well. I just the moment that episode ended, I said, sheesh.
And now it makes a lot of sense that the What If series comes next.
Who's like the voice behind the What If series?
I forgot his name.
Who is that?
I forgot his name.
Like, who's voicing Uatu?
No. Yeah. Okay, Uatu.
I can't remember his name. He's in the...
No, I was just asking who the guy was, not who the man was.
Oh, yeah, it's the Watcher. It's Uatu.
Is he watching through all times? All realities?
Yeah.
That's what we don't know, but I've seen the theory that What If is just about like the alternate realities that Kang creates. But I just don't think they're going to tie it into the MCU. I think it's going to be its own thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine.
It would be cool, though.
I can't imagine the MCU can really start delving into multiple realities at the same time and then try to keep the casual viewer being, like, aware of which thing is happening in which reality.
But yeah, I think the only people who are probably going to watch What If are going to be, like, the more strict viewers. I don't think the casual viewers are. Most of the casual viewers are like, it's just a cartoon, whatever. So I could see them, like, really digging into it with What If.
My favorite,
I don't think they will, but I could see.
My favorite thing about Loki is how, like, the last two or three episodes. It was really showing, like, overthrowing the TVA. We're doing it. These TVA guys, they kind of fucking suck. And then at the end of Loki, it's like, it didn't matter. You lost, bitch. Fuck. Owen Wilson doesn't know who you are.
I think his perspective was changed whenever, you know, he got to the timekeepers and they were robots.
But and then at the end of the show, Dylan, whenever he is back at the TVA,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody says, who the fuck is this guy? We're at the TVA. We gotta stop these crazy amount of fucking alternate branches that are coming out because something happened.
You know, that's a weird thing to think about now.
Because if the TVA existed outside of time,
you know what?
I think Immortus wouldn't have changed the TVA.
I think Jared I see Jared's point now.
Yeah, but time's a flat circle.
Yeah, but you just said it was a line.
Yeah, but he was at the end of it.
You can't be at the end of a circle.
He's Immortus. Time.
The TV. Oh no! Yeah, but I see Koda's point. I can't remember who was arguing for what. TVA exists inside time.
I don't think it does.
It has to.
But it was altered by.
It was altered by something that happened outside of time. So
there's an alternate version of the TVA.
It's not an alternate version. It's the only version. I think there can only be one TVA. But
well, then how was the TVA altered by something that happened on the outside of time?
Yeah,
the TVA
different.
Existed because Kang conquered it.
But the Immortus made it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was murdered a bazillion years later.
I think it's an alternate version of TVA.
But I'm saying the original TVA no longer exists. And I think that the alternate Kang who now runs the TVA, I think he went to...
But if the TVA existed outside of time, how did it stop existing?
If he went back to whenever Kang... If he went back to when Immortus created the TVA, then he could create it himself and stop Immortus and kill Immortus in the past. I play 5D chess. I kind of understand what I'm talking about.
I don't think you have any idea. But if he would have killed Immortus in the past, how was Immortus there for Loki's to kill?
See, that's the thing about time travel.
Because he wouldn't have
been. That happens. But that's because Immortus wasn't there to stop him from killing Immortus in the past, because Immortus is dead in the present now. at the end of time.
No, they're in the future.
But didn't they explain this in Endgame where they're like time isn't like a time is a straight line. Whatever you do.
Yeah, it makes branches.
Yeah, but we understand that. The problem is how does the TVA fit into that equation?
I think they exist.
Because if the TVA
I think they're in the quantum realm.
Could be a quantum realm.
I think they're in the quantum realm.
Because that
Kang is supposed to be in the next Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Quantumania.
Yeah.
I think they're in the quantum realm.
That could explain every direction of how that works.
Because in
are there multiple quantum realms or is there only one quantum realm?
I imagine there's only one quantum realm.
I feel like there can only be one. Otherwise, it's going to get a lot more confusing really fast.
See in the Ant-Man and the Wasp, you see a little town, a little city in the back. Do you know that?
It looks a lot like Chronopolis.
Oh, yeah? You been to Chronopolis?
Yeah, it's a nice place.
You got a postcard?
I didn't get a postcard, but I do have a little flattened penny.
Shout out to flattened pennies, dog. This shit was fucking tight.
Whoever came up with that, smartest man ever.
You pay a nickel and a fucking penny to get a flattened penny. And that is a fucking absolute way to decimate the coin market.
That's what caused the coin shortage last year.
I mean, it had to have had some kind of impact. You just keep fucking flattening out pennies.
Man, it's weird. It's
fucking just cranking that motherfucker.
They even make you do the fucking work. You flatten it yourself.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's a bullshit machine. We need to make one.
Check out our dropout
flattened pennies.
We're gonna be selling flattened pennies. We don't have a machine. We just use a fucking hammer.
We just welded a rough shape of a D onto a hammer and then just fucking smacked a penny a bunch of times.
That's funny.
Is it?
No.
That's what I thought, you fucking pig.
So how do you feel about the new MCU? Because me and Jared...
Oh, yeah. Me and Dill were talking last night, and I told him the rumored Dark Avengers / Thunderbolts team that I told you about.
Yeah.
And then he proposed that the next Avengers movie would be them fighting the new Avengers, and I said, that's ridiculous. Because everybody I just told you that's on that team is basically a dude, with the exception of Red Hulk. And the new Avengers team will have people like Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange and Thor, who could easily, all three of them, one-man that entire team.
I just thought it was a cool idea.
It was.
I mean, yeah, it's like if AVX was one issue.
Also, and then I informed Dill that nobody on that team is like a real villain. Or even kind of a villain.
But they can have opposing interests and still like come at each other.
Yeah, but
remember Civil War?
Yeah, but then you just have Civil War again.
Civil War 2.
You have Civil War with characters that people care less about.
We'll see.
To be fair, though, Doctor Strange and Miss Witch, they're busy. So they could just do like the whole Thor Hulk thing from Civil War. All the strong ones just kind of fuck off. Carol Danvers is doing space stuff.
I imagine they'd put her in an Avengers movie.
I think it's going to be more of a show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that fucking Captain Marvel could also solo that entire team.
But I was asking more of like...
Dylan just doesn't want John Walker to be a good guy.
Previous, like the Marvel before Endgame, everything was just stacked on top of each other. It was always building on top of what was happening before. This new MCU is very just like...
It seems
everything's kind of going in every direction.
It seems like they're making a tree, and everything up until Endgame was the actual base of the tree.
Now we're getting the branches,
and now it's just gonna branch, and everything's gonna go fucking hog wild.
Time's a flat circle.
I don't know what to expect from it.
Or it's the end.
Also, I think Shang-Chi might end up being bad.
I think you're
absolutely insane.
I don't think Shang-Chi is gonna be bad. I could see it not being good, but at the end of the day.
Oh, regardless. Wait, you think the movie's going to be bad, or you think the character Shang-Chi will be a villain?
Oh, no, the movie's going to be bad.
Oh, maybe, I don't know. I thought you meant that Shang-Chi was going to be a bad guy in the Dark Avengers, and I was like, I really don't think he will be.
I don't think Shang-Chi is necessarily going to be a bad movie, because at the end of the day, regardless of how it is as a movie, it's going to have a lot of kung fu fighting.
And but that's bad badass. Kung fu fighting.
No such thing.
Yeah. You could like
every kung fu movie ever is at least cool to the extent that the kung fu is in it.
I guess
that's the worst Shang-Chi could do. See, the Hawkeye show, don't know anything about what's going to happen there.
I know it's based on Matt Fraction's run of Hawkeye, which makes me very, very excited.
I don't know Matt Fraction's run of Hawkeye.
That's a good
Moon Knight, don't know what the fuck's going to happen there.
I keep forgetting about that.
Miss Marvel, don't know what the fuck's going to happen there.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot about that show. And that's supposed to come out this year also.
Yeah, Hawkeye's next, and then Miss Marvel.
The new Spider-Man movie, don't know what the fuck's going to happen there. That also comes out
this year. Yep.
There's six Marvel projects supposed to
Black Panther 2. I have absolutely zero idea how the fuck they're going to make that work.
Yeah, that's a I don't envy anyone who has to fix that.
Was it Ryan Coogler?
Yeah, Coogler.
Yeah, sure. He's writing and directing, yeah, which I guess is better than if he was just doing one of those things.
He wrote and directed the first one too.
Yeah, but
I think every part of that movie has to be on the same page to make this work.
I mean, he has no ground to stand on.
Ripped that guy.
I saw an article that Angela Bassett said that like Black Panther 2 was on its sixth version of the script, and a bunch of people were like, whoa, how the fuck do people think movies get made? Every single movie that's ever been produced by a big studio has like 20 versions of the script. Like, that's not news at all.
A lot of times the script's even altered on set.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the director's like, let's go a little here.
But yeah, but like, I don't know. I kept seeing articles about it, and I was like, why does anybody fucking care that this is on
the sixth
version?
I'm surprised it's six. I'm surprised it's not like,
yeah, the fact that 52. Yeah, the fact that they're only on six at this point is honestly worrying that they haven't written more versions.
Has anybody seen Mr. Ryan Coogler in the last 6 months?
I'd imagine he is deep underground.
I imagine he has a very long beard now. It's gray, way more gray than it was before.
I don't think it was gray at all. Ryan Coogler's not an old guy. He's in his 30s.
He's like, what, 36?
If that.
But yeah, I imagine he looks like he went into there 2008 Obama and he came out 2016 Obama.
Yeah, I don't envy that guy at all.
Yeah, Ryan Coogler's 35.
That guy is.
He's gonna come out 46.
Yeah, he's so fucked. Let's see what else they got coming. What else? Oh, the Eternals. What the fuck is the Eternals? I mean, watch the trailer last night. It tells you absolutely.
I bet it'll be a good movie, but I have no idea.
I don't know if it will.
The director for the movie just won the Academy Award for Best Film.
Did you see how fucking yoked Kumail Nanjiani is? There's no way this movie's not great. Yeah. That dude is fucking shredded.
I guarantee you, he at no point in that movie will you ever like see him and think, God damn, he's yoked. I imagine you'll just see him and be like, Kumail Nanjiani.
I promise you that he bullied the director into letting him be shirtless at least three times.
At no point did he. I can't imagine he ever actually needed to get that fucking yoked for that movie.
Oh, no. I highly doubt that there's a lot of shirtless scenes in The Eternals until Kumail Nanjiani said, I'm going to be shirtless.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know what the fuck that movie's going to be about. What else they got coming? What else is coming up?
Quantumania.
That's on like the end of the road right now, though.
I think it's 2023.
I can kind of see at least a little bit where that's supposed to be going.
Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah,
that's early next year, I think.
Don't know what the fuck that's
2 days after my birthday, actually.
Don't know what the fuck that's going to be. Thor, Love, and Thunder, I don't know how the fuck that's supposed to work.
Did you see where Taika Waititi said, like, yeah, this movie shouldn't make any fucking sense? He's like, I just look at it objectively, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. It's like, but we made it work.
What?
He said,
all right, man.
He said, if you look at the individual aspects of this movie, there's no way that this works or makes any sense.
If you just break it down.
But I'm Taika, so
it's going to be great. Break it down, you got Thor, who the last time we saw was on a
fat
plane.
Fat tub of shit.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. was on a ship with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think it's confirmed that the Guardians are going to be in the Thor movie, but Thor isn't going to be in the Guardians movie.
Well, I imagine they're probably going to drop
off. It's
the
other way around.
Are you sure?
I believe Thor is going to be in Guardians, but the Guardians aren't going to be in Thor, because that's where he's at right now, is at Guardians.
But anyway, and then how in the fuck are they going to be like, oh, and here's Jane Foster, and here's Mjolnir. It's not destroyed anymore. Floop, flop. She's got it. She's Thor. Unless they're just like, this is Jane Foster from another universe.
Yeah, I mean, the rule, it's all on the table now.
Yeah, it's...
Really don't know where we're going.
Everything about the
simultaneously
MCU...
Simultaneously exciting and terrifying.
I can't think of one MCU thing that's coming up that I have any kind of prediction of what it's going to be
like. I feel good about what's going to happen,
and I have no idea.
I like that though.
Blade,
but
I can see how Blade's going to work out, because it's going to be a pretty independent movie, and Blade's going to be cool.
Mahershala Ali's just going to be a real cool guy who kills vampires.
Yeah, and Shang-Chi, Why the fuck is Abomination fighting fucking
Wong
in a cage?
Why not?
Mortal Kombat.
What happened?
It's Mortal Kombat 2.
Right. The fact that most of the films are just like, it feels like they're all taking on something so big.
Yeah.
It's so convoluted. I'm it just feels like how does it work?
It feels like all of them are doing Avengers shit.
Also, Secret Invasion show.
Yeah.
Oh, that is such a big storyline.
Yeah, that's also something that I have no idea how the fuck that's going to work.
But I will say it's all leading to Secret Wars. I would bet I will eat my hat if this does not end with Secret Wars.
Isn't Secret Wars is where like they all fight themselves?
Yeah. Kind of, yeah, sort of.
I don't know.
That has to be where the
depends story on the version of Secret Wars it is, but
I would imagine they'll go with 2015 Secret Wars.
MCU content coming up is all kooky crazy.
Kooky crazy, baby.
And still no fucking Nova movie.
Wild.
Pissed.
Wasn't there talk about Nova coming in like 2014?
Yeah, every single movie that's in space, they're like, Nova. And then they just fucking fuck
you still,
off.
You still I'm pretty sure
James Gunn has said, like, Nova. Yeah, Nova's pretty cool.
Oh, and Suicide Squad. Supposed to be like
excited.
Fucking 10 out of 10.
That comes out in like 3 weeks? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah. All the early reviews are just like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. I came 8 times.
Well.
There's also another good movie that comes out the week after, but I don't know what it is.
I couldn't tell you.
You guys want to go see Space Jam? Or?
No.
I've heard it's not good, I could have guessed that.
Yeah.
Hate to see it.
The movie is...
You know why it's not good? Lola Bunny ain't dummy thick.
Yeah, they took away Lola's big old honkers. Bad movie. If I can't sexualize my cartoons, I don't know why I would watch them.
This is the hentai capital of the United States, brother.
Is it really?
No.
Could be.
I don't think anybody's willing to take
that. Can we fact check that?
Hey, Doug? We need a Doug. Anyway, closing words, Dill?
Good luck.
Just vague like that? Okay. Coda, you got anything?
I wish I wouldn't have agreed to come on this episode cover for Noah. I mean, this I can't. I haven't. Obviously, I don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine there's been an episode worse than this one. This was just fucking abysmal.
I guarantee you there has
That
been.
Is depressing. I understand why nobody listens.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was literally 30 minutes of you just explaining a movie very poorly.
Hey.
We tried to get you to stop, and you didn't.
I explained the movie as well as the movie explained itself.
But you didn't have to explain the movie at all.
You could have you could have in like a paragraph.
All right, you go ahead then.
No, because it's stupid and pointless. It's right, literally just Marvel stuff. Imagine if you listen to this because you just think that like, oh, these guys are funny. And you don't watch Marvel.
I appreciate y'all guys. Y'all going to school for this?
I dropped out of college twice.